Proverbs chapter 1. And by the way, I have a blog on my website, milesmcpherson.com, and I wrote about this and write something every week, mostly on leadership stuff, so you can read that if you want. I go more into in-depth. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is the book after Psalms, and Psalms comes first, then Proverbs. If you want to better understand and know which one comes first, Psalms has an A in it. A is the first letter. Isn't that true? Are y'all awake tonight? Okay, very good. Wave your hands in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. There you go. Okay. You know, this is how you clap in sign language. So let's all applaud Jesus. But he can't hear it. Yes, he can. He knows exactly what this means. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for being good to us. And we pray you encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in college, I was a mechanical engineering student, and I had classes like calculus 1, 2, and 3, and differential equations, which is four-dimensional math. I had material science, thermodynamics, dynamics, all that kind of stuff. Organic chemistry I took because I was going to go into medical a little bit, but I didn't do that. But I had all these science classes, all theory, and every summer I would work as an engineer somewhere, whether it be usually in New York City or in Connecticut. And one summer, my last summer before I left college, I worked at a place called Electric Boat in Connecticut where they make the Trident submarine. The Trident submarine is, at the time, was the biggest nuclear sub we had. I don't know if it still is today. And when I got there, I didn't want to just sit down and be a grunt and do nothing. I wanted to come up with some creative project. So if I remember correctly, it was a long time ago, came up with this concept. Let me try to design a distilling plant in the Trident submarine. In other words, how can we take salt water and convert it to fresh water on the ship, on the sub, using the energy that was already being used on the ship without creating a new generator? So they said, you could figure that out. You could have that as your summer project, so go for it. So I got to go on the ship. I got to go on the model. They have a life-size model of the sub made out of wood and plastic and cardboard, et cetera. And I've quickly learned that all the theories I was learning in school was not really applicable to what I was doing. It would probably eventually get there, but having knowledge is different than having wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. How many of y'all are in college right now? How many of you in college? Okay, so for all of y'all in college, you're learning information, whether you're an accountant, whether you're going to be a nurse or whatever, you're learning information, but when you get a job, you will quickly learn that you have to relearn your craft. And a lot of what you're learning now, a lot of it, not all of it, will have nothing to do with what you do every day, unfortunately. But you got to get that degree. Matter of fact, I know a lot of people go to college, their parents will spend $100,000, and then they'll go work at Starbucks. So nothing you learn how to do at Starbucks, okay? But if you get a job in your field, you're going to learn that there's a lot of difference between the theories you learn in school and the wisdom you need to do your job. As we go through the series called The Royal, we've been talking about soul food. Everyone say soul food? And soul food is the poetic language in the Bible that empowers your soul to communicate to God and to communicate like God. So when you want to worship God, when you want to repent of sin, when you want to pray to God or pray against your enemies, as we talked about last week, God is saying, here's what you say. Matter of fact, last week we talked about if you want to pray against somebody, if you want God to get one of your enemies, that you can pray this way. We talked about that last week. God tells you what to do. So if you're going to go postal, he says, here's how you do it. If you're going to praise me, here's how you do it. If you're going to repent of your sin, here's the kind of things you want to include in your repentance. So today we're going to talk about wisdom because within the poetic language genre, there's wisdom literature. Literature in the Bible that tells you how to be wise. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, which means it's kind of a dumb question. We already know the answer, but I want to get you to participate anyway. How many of y'all by a show of hand need and would want wisdom? Very good. I thought that would be true. King David, who killed Goliath, had a son named Solomon. Solomon became king. When Solomon became king, God said to Solomon, Solomon, you're now a king. Ask me anything you want, and I'll give it to you. Imagine God saying that to you. I give you anything you want. Really? I want a nice car. Wrong answer. Don't ask for a nice car. Ask for something better than that. And so what Solomon said is, Solomon said, God, I want you to give your servant an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. Guess what God said to him? It's the best thing you could have asked for. Why? Because if you have wisdom, you can get everything else. Not only can you get a car, you can buy a dealership. And you can find out how to get the car for free. Okay, so what Solomon did, he used that wisdom, and he got 700, I'm not saying this was a good thing, I'm not saying it was a biblical thing, and I'm not even saying it was right because it was wrong and it tore him up. He got 700 wives, 700, 700, and 300 concubines. That means he had 1,000, and if you speak Spanish, uno mil, 1,000, 1,000 women. Now, that is a player of biblical proportion. Player. You see these dudes got three women talking about they a player. That brother was a player. Not only did he have 1,000 women, the Bible says he was the richest man ever to live. Of course, he had all those women. He had to have money to support his habit. Okay? He built palaces for him. He did all the stuff. The dude had, he had gold. He had animals. He had monkeys. He had built palaces. He did all the stuff. Incredible thing. Built a temple. So but he did it all because he had wisdom. Now, he misused his wisdom. He misused his wisdom. But one of the things he did with his wisdom is he wrote many of the book of Proverbs, chapters in the book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, he wrote 3,000 Proverbs. Now, there's 31 chapters, 3-1 chapters in Proverbs. 31 chapters. How many chapters? How many days in the longest month of the year? 31. That means you could read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Today's the 5th. Read Proverbs 5. Tomorrow's the 6th. Read Proverbs 6. Get wisdom. Remember, if you want wisdom, Proverbs is there to give it to you. God is telling you that. Matter of fact, we're going to read it in a minute, and God is telling you that. Now, Proverbs deals with relationships. How many of y'all like wisdom in relationships? Keep your hand up for just a few minutes, just 1 minute. How many of you like wisdom in money? How many of you like wisdom in career? How many like wisdom in your employment, being an employer, dealing with fools, dealing with wise people? How do you want wisdom just to be more wise? All of you. Thank you. And God is saying, it's right here. So get it. Get it while the getting's good. Number one in your notes. Number one. The fear of God results in wisdom. The first thing you need to know, the first and most important thing you need to know, muy importante, is that fear of God results in wisdom. Fear of God. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. We're going to read what Proverbs is all about, and then the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, King of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, the young man knowledge and discretion. The wise man will hear and increase learning, and the man of understanding will gain wise counsel. Why, again, did he write it? To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, everyone say fools. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. One of the big themes of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. Therefore, the opposite of a wise person is a fool. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the first thing we need to know, if you want wisdom, God's wisdom, you have to fear God. Not be scared of God, but respect God. None of us in here are smarter than God or equally smart. Matter of fact, if we pooled all of our wisdom together, we'd still be a fool, dumb compared to God. Matter of fact, turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. We're going to come back to Proverbs 1, so leave a piece of paper in there or something. Proverbs 21, verse 30. Proverbs 21, verse 30. It says, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Read again. There is no wisdom, counsel, or understanding against the Lord. What does that mean? That there is no body or no entity or no bit of information that will ever be smarter than God on any subject. If you're in advertising today, God is the best advertiser in the world. He knows your business better than you. You want to know who to date? God knows better than you whether that person's for you. what jobs you should take, if you're an engineer, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer. God has more wisdom in anything and everything than anybody you can get. So no matter what you do, whatever decision you're trying to make, matter of fact, the Bible even says there's safety in a multitude of counsel. You want to talk to as many people as possible. But in the end, the answers should come from God. What does that mean? That you should say, Lord, I have a question. I have a dilemma. I have a decision I need to make. Can you help me make the right decision? So God is telling you, if you want to get wisdom, you have to start with this fact that I know more than you and everybody you know. I was a youth pastor. Before I was a youth pastor, I had a Bible study at my house with these teenagers in Rancho Penasquitos and Mira Mesa, about 20 minutes from here. And this girl hadn't come for about a month or so, and I called her up and said where she was, and she says, well, I have a problem. I said, well, what does that got to do with coming to Bible study? God's the solver of all problems. Well, God can't even solve this problem. I said, you must be pregnant. How did you know? Well, the God who you said can't solve your problem just told me that's the only problem you think he can't solve. Of course, she thought she was pregnant. She wasn't, blah, blah, blah. The point is, you never, everyone say never. Yeah. Say never. Yeah. Say it twice. Say never, never. Yeah. You never want to have a problem so big you go, I can't, God can't even deal with this, so let me go talk to some people. That is foolish. Doesn't mean God won't tell you through people, but ultimately, you don't want to turn your back on God's wisdom. How many of you have ever seen a dolphin swim? It's not a trick question, okay? So here's what they do. They swim, they go to the surface, they open the blowhole up on top of their head, they breathe, and inhale, and then they go and hold their breath and swim, hold their breath, hold their breath, hold their breath, hold their breath, and come up, so breathe, hold their breath, hold their breath, hold their breath, and hold their breath. You got it? How do they go to sleep? Do they hold their breath the whole time and sleep? Do they float at the top and breathe? Half their brain goes to sleep, half their brain's awake. Keeps them breathing while they sleep. Well, how did that happen? Well, over billions of years, they just figured out that if they slept underneath, they would die. Am I making fun of someone who believes that they evolved over millions of years to figure that out? Absolutely. It's ridiculous. God created them that way. Why? Because he's a genius. He's a genius. He's smarter than all of us. And if you want to get his wisdom, you got to respect him and fear him. That is the beginning of you knowing anything that's positive. Number two. Matter of fact, when staff people or people in general, I'm an idea person, when people come to me with new ideas, sometimes I'll say to them, is this your idea or was it God's idea? Because some people say, well, I came with an idea. Yeah. Well, if you came with an idea, I don't want it. Because if you came with the idea, I know that God can improve on it 20 times. So I want that idea. Matter of fact, when God gives me ideas and God gives me good ideas all the time, I know it's from him. Because it'll come out of nowhere, and I'll be like, oh, that's the bomb. And I'll tell somebody, they'll go, oh, that's such a good idea. Did you think of that? And I'm tempted to say, yeah, I thought about it. Yeah, that was me. I was just kind of, just thinking around. It just came to my head, No matter what kind of idea God gives you, if you take that idea and you share it with other people and let them speak to that idea, guess what happens? It always gets better. Always. You never have the best idea the first time. Nobody. It's always part of it. You let other people speak to it, and they start buffing it out. And God starts to shape it, and all of a sudden it becomes something so much better. You never want to trust just you or just a person. You want to say, Lord, in the end, I want to do what you say. Number two in your notes. Avoid evil counsel. This is a wise piece of advice from God. Avoid evil counsel. What does that mean? Not only avoid people who tell you to do evil things, avoid evil people. Fools. How many of you know a fool? How many of you have been a fool? Very good. How many of you still have your certified fool card? Certified. Chapter 1. Some of us get it renewed every week. Verse 8, chapter 1. My son, hear the instruction of your mother, and do not forsake the law of your father. There will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us and let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Basically, we all have people in our life who are enticing us into doing bad things, evil things, sinful things, etc. The Bible's saying is, stay away from them. We all have them. Now, some of you have those people that are trying to steal, rob, and kill. Matter of fact, after one of the services this morning, a guy came up to me and said, yeah, my friends are the ones who steal. I got friends who rob, steal. Matter of fact, this was really kind of ironic. The guy came up to and told me that his friends, pertaining to this passage right here, he says, my friends are the ones that steal. They rob. And those are the very friends that told me to come to church here. Ain't that something? These are thieves saying to this other guy, you need to go to the Rock. I don't take that as a compliment or what. I don't know. But go there and steal or what? Go there and get your life right. I don't know, but he was there. But the point is that most of the sinner type people I'm talking about, the people who are enticing you to evil, are in the least gossips. They're in your ear chirping. You know what I heard? About people, they're talking about people they don't even know. How many of you heard gossip today? How many heard gossip in the last week? Raise your hand up real high. Very good. How many of you said some gossip in the last week? Mm-hmm. That's you. Let's return to Proverbs chapter 20. Keep your place here. We're going to come back. Proverbs 26, verse 11. This is one of the most powerful, impactful verses in the Bible. To me, it's hilarious. It says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. How many of you have seen a dog throw up before? Okay, here, you can see it coming up, right? They open their mouth, and then it, blah. And then sometimes, what do? They go back for a second bite. They start eating it. Y'all seen that before? Okay, and if you're from back east, you've seen it in the steam, in the snow. They'll do it in the snow, and the steam is coming up, and they'll just go back and say, I'm going to get a second bite. That was good the first time. And they start, nyah, 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 nyah. Say amen if that's nasty. That's just what you do when you do stupid stuff twice. Here's what the devil does. He sticks his foot out and trips you. Whether it be in a relationship, whether it be in a financial decision, whatever it is, he tricks you. You fall and bust your head in the concrete. Okay, you date a knucklehead guy. And the only thing nice about him was he had all his teeth and he had some pecs. That was it. He didn't have a job. He didn't have no money. He didn't have a car. He took the bus or wanted you to pick him up. And you had a pot of McDonald's for him. And that's all he had was teeth and pecs. And you went, oh, he's so nice. He's so nice. So you date him, and bam, he breaks your heart. And what do? You hit your head and go, oh, man, I'm never going to date a guy like that again. And then 3 days later, you're dating him again. And your friends say, what's wrong? Well, he said this, and he's going to change. And you get back, and here's what the devil says. The devil trips you. devil says, get back in line. And you get back in line, and the devil stands right there and trips you again with the same deception. You hit your head again. You get back in line. And next thing you know, you hit your head. The devil then tripped you again with the same trick. No creativity on the devil's part. Why? Because you're a fool. You haven't learned, so he doesn't watch it. He changed his game. It's working. And then you'll hit your head in the concrete, and he'll say to you, it was God's fault. You start blaming God. That's a dog returning to his vomit. Now, you know what your vomit is that you keep eating. It's a relationship. It's money. It's dumb decisions in the way you use your time. Some of y'all are students, and you wait till Sunday night to study for a Monday test. Ooh. And Sunday night, you're like, turning pages, scribbling everything and cramming. And then there's some student who's just cruising. They study for an hour on Sunday night. They watch the game. And you're mad because they're not doing anything. Well, you know what they did? They did a little bit every day. And you never do that. And you get a C where you should have got a B. And when you see the right answers, you go, yeah, I remember that. I just didn't remember it when I took the test. And the devil does that to you over and over and over again. And instead of becoming a doctor, which is what you started out to be, you go work at McDonald's. Instead of driving a BMW, and not that that's better than driving a bus, but riding a bus, but it sure would be nicer than riding a bus. And what the devil does, he slowly gets you repeating, eating your vomit over and over and over again. And in your heart, you know you're not dumb, and you're not. You know you're capable, and you are. He just happened to get you to be lazy. And that was your vomit. That's all he needs to do. That's all he needs to do. And there's so many different scenarios the way he gets people to act like a fool over and over and over again, usually in one of three areas. It's not like he's got to be real creative. It's really the same things that he's going to get you in, and he's going to get you in that rut. And the Bible says right here, look what it says again in verse 11, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. What is the point? Well, some of you are that fool. Some of you are following that fool. You're getting advice from that fool. Someone who had five divorces is trying to tell you how to have a relationship. And you're listening. Look what it says. Look what the next verse says. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. In other words, I know. Let me tell you, I know. And someone who thinks he's wise in his own eyes, that you're wise, not God, you, there's more hope for a fool than for him. Watch out for that person. Watch out for that person. If you read Proverbs, you will start to peg all your friends and yourself. And God would open up your eyes and give you a hint of what might happen if you keep going down the path you're going on. And give you a hint of how to change the course of your life. Look what it says in chapter 29, verse 11. It says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Have you ever met somebody that says, I'm going to say all what's on my mind. I'm going to speak my mind. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to say. I'm going to say what I feel when I feel it. Can I get an amen? That is a fool. Imagine if everything you thought in your mind came out as words when you thought it. You would have no family. You would have no friends, no job. You would be all by yourself. But you know why that doesn't happen? Because you have enough sense to shut your mouth when you should, at least most of the time. Someone who vents his heart whenever, he is a or she is a fool. And how many of you guys are unmarried? Raise your hand if you're not married. Fellas, when you get your wife, let me prepare you for marriage. Two key words you want to learn. Because there's going to come times in your marriage when your wife gets mad. You can get in arguments. You can think you're the head of the house. You're the man. This is your thing. But when your wife gets mad to the level of code red, two words you need to know. Yes, ma'am. Or yes, dear, however you want to say it. Or I'm sorry. I'm going to my room. I know it's more than two words, but you can throw that in there. I'm going to my room. Zip it. They had a funny back there, their own. Number three in your notes. Number three, God has made wisdom available to everyone. God has made wisdom available to everyone. Turn back to Proverbs 1. Verse 20. It says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. What this is saying is that there is evidence of what wisdom does available to all of you everywhere you look and everywhere you go. You want to know what a good marriage looks like? There are examples. You want to know what a bad marriage looks like? There are examples. You want to know what lying will do to you? There are examples. You want to know what being honest will do for you? There are examples. You want to know how to get the answers that you need for whatever situation you're dealing with right now? There are people who know, who have been through what you're getting ready to go through or what you're considering to go through, and it's available to you. This is what the Bible's saying. So there's no excuse of saying, I didn't know. God said, no, you didn't ask, because it's there. And look what it says in verse 22. How long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorn is delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Ask and I'll tell you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Basically, what God's saying is that his wisdom has offered herself to you. How many of you have had an opportunity where someone was trying to, or a circumstance was trying to teach you the right way to do something, and you knew it, and you chose the bad way? Okay, what he's saying is that, let me tell you, wisdom is not only available, I've been trying to help you. Look what it says in verse 25. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror comes. And when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Then you would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full of their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. What God is saying to us is very simple. God is saying to you, the wisdom that you need is available for whatever it is you need wisdom for. That God will either provide it directly with verses in the Bible. He will provide it through godly counsel. He will speak to you directly. But you have to call to him, and you have to call to him out of respect, acknowledging that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In a minute, we're going to pray. And some of your prayers, some of you will have the opportunity to say, Lord, I've been trying to do it all on my own. I haven't been asking you for counsel. I haven't been taking your direction on how to run my life. And consequently, there are a lot of areas in your life that are off. Your financial situation is bad. Your relationship situation is bad. You don't know what you're studying in school, where you're going with your life. And God is saying, I can give you direction in all of that. And what the devil's trying to tell you is the devil's going to show you all the areas of your life that are not what they should be, and he's going to use that pressure to try to implode you and burn you down. And as soon as you have victory in one area, he's going to show you, well, this one's messed up. As soon as you fix that area, he's going to show you, well, this is now messed up again. And he's going to constantly be bombarding you, and God says, you know what, I want to give you wisdom to deal with all that. But you have to ask me. You have to ask me. And now you have to ask me one time, I want you to ask me every day. That's a relationship where every single day, I'm going to tell you every single day, we all make thousands of decisions. I'm going to tell you, I ask God for wisdom every single day. because he gives me stuff to do that I cannot do. I'm not smart enough to do, don't know the information. So I say, God, what do I do? And you know what he says? He'll say, do this, or he'll say, ask your wife, or he'll say, ask this person, or call these three people, or whatever, whatever. Or he's going to say, I'm going to tell you sometime later, just keep asking me. But it's a constant pursuit. And guess what? He always comes through. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call to me and I will tell you great and mighty things that you don't know. Say amen if you want to know great and mighty things you don't know. Amen. How could you not? Sometimes I ask God for great and mighty things I don't know that I don't even need to know. Like, God, how does a dolphin sleep? I don't know. I don't need to know that. But I want to know. And he says, hey, here's how it is. And it was the bomb when I made him. You ever see an owl fly? You ever wonder? Here's an owl's fly. An owl looks like a bird with his head cut off because his face is flat. I was driving down the street one night, no lie, and right parallel to my car, across the street, was an owl. It was like this big, 5 feet across, I don't know, and he was flying like this. Owls' wings, at the end of their wings are frayed, so when they flap their wings, there's no sound. In other words, if you were by like a crow, when they fly, you could hear because their wings are all rough, and you could hear them flying. Owls, the tips of their wings are real like light feathers, so when they flap, there's no sound because they're stealth. They hunt at night. This is true. I'm not making this up. I made the dolphin thing. I completely made that thing up. No. I'm only messing with you. I have no idea. So I'm driving down the road, and this owl's like parallel to the car, riding up. He's flying along the sidewalk on the other side. So I slow down to drive the same speed as the owl just to watch him. I turned the music off. It was windows down. I just wanted to listen. I couldn't hear it. Sound like this. And then the owl turned towards the car. No, I'm not lying. This is true. And I slowed down, and he flew right over the car. And I was like, I was going to scream because I had my window down. He was big, and his it looked like he got his head cut off, and he was just all spooky looking. And he went, and I was like, God, how come the owl's so quiet? He said, you need to call this guy because he works at the zoo. A friend of mine works at the zoo. I said, why is the owl so quiet? He said, because of his feathers. And here's what happened. He brought an owl to church when we were at another location before here, and he brought a parrot. And the parrot was like, brr, 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 brr. And the parrot flew across the room. Brr, 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 brr. And then he had an owl fly across the room. And he explained it. My point is this. God says, you want to know something? Ask me. I got answers for everything. 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 Three syllables or thing. Two syllables. Same thing. So here's what I want you to do. Bow your heads. We're going to pray. I want you to remove your distractions of your friends and family. This is between you and God. I want you to listen very carefully. Very carefully. I know many of you are wrestling with a lot of decisions. Some of them are life impactful decisions. And God wants to be a part of your decisions. He doesn't want you to waste your time. He doesn't want you to take a left when you're supposed to take a right. Some of your decisions are you need to give your life to Jesus because you have not. That's the wisest thing you can do. And then some of you just have been trying to make decisions on your own without God's assistance. That's foolish. Someone who is right in their own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for him. It's not a sign of weakness to depend on God. It's a sign of wisdom. He's just smarter than all of us. But he wants to bless you. He wants to guide you and give you wisdom so you may be blessed. But you have to ask him. So if you today would like to ask him to either forgive you of your sin, which is a wise thing to ask him for, or you need prayer, you know that you need to surrender all your decisions to God, your burdens to God. You need to lay your life down at his feet and say, Lord, I just don't want to try to do this by myself, which you should not try to do by yourself. Just pray this prayer with me for whatever reason. Say, in the privacy of your heart, say, dear God, I need you in my life. Please forgive me for trying to live without you, making decisions without you. I surrender my life to Jesus. I ask you, God, for your wisdom, your forgiveness. Please remove my burdens. Please guide and direct me all day, every day. Thank you, God. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your burdens to God, that you're either receiving him as your Savior or you're just surrendering your ignorance to him, asking him for his wisdom. You want prayer for whatever reason. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, for whatever reason you prayed that prayer. Just